There has been a public health campaign for some time now to try to get young people to get the HPV vaccine. It protects against the human papillomavirus because it can lead to cervical cancer in women. In fact, a new global review from the Cochrane Report shows that the HPV vaccine protects against cervical cancer in women who receive it between the ages of 15 and 26. But women aren't the only ones who can get cancer from HPV, and women aren't the only ones who should be getting vaccinated, according to Dr. Shafiq Tomei, a head and neck oncologist at Banner MD Anderson Cancer Center. I sat down with him recently to talk more about HPV and some of the controversy that has surrounded this vaccine for years.
So HPV is the human papillomavirus. It's a sexually transmitted virus, and we're realizing, particularly in the head and neck, but it affects other body sites as well, that it's causing cancer. In the head and neck, it typically causes cancer in the tonsil and the back of the tongue, we call the base of the tongue. But it can also cause cervical cancer. That's pretty well known. It can cause anal cancer, and it can cause warts.
So tell us a little bit about how common it is, not only across the country, but here in Arizona.
So the reality is, if you look at the epidemiology of the HPV virus, it's quite ubiquitous. Most people are going to be exposed to it. What is the exact percentage? I don't know that percentage, but it's, you know, above 60% of the people are basically exposed to this virus. As far as the cancer numbers, particularly in Arizona, we have these numbers Dr. Karen Lewis provided me from the Department of Health here in Arizona. So there are 493 HPV-associated cancers from 2010 to 2014 that have been classified as HPV-associated. And of those, about 40% are in the oropharynx, which is the base of tongue or the tonsil. Surprisingly enough, there are less cases of cervical cancer, which we know so much about, or every woman knows that the pap smear is something that she's probably going to have at some point in her life for screening, but nobody knows that, you know, that similar type of virus-associated cancer can take place in your tonsil, and we're seeing that there's actually a greater number of people in Arizona having the tongue-based or tonsil-based HPV cancer.
Wow.
Men get this way more than women. So there's about a 20%, if not less, of women are getting the oropharynx and tonsil cancer. So 100% of women get cervical cancer.
Right, right.
I mean, that's obvious. Men don't have cervices. But for tonsil and base of tongue, it's actually a predominantly male problem. And that's just based on the oral sexual contact.
So this vaccine and the conversation around the vaccine has been so focused on preventing cervical cancer in young women in particular and giving this vaccine to young women. It sounds like that is not the right way to go about this.
Zero. That is not at all the right way to go about this, because if you look at the numbers again, the oropharyngeal, i.e. the tonsil and the base of tongues, are higher numbers than the cervix. Now, if we were to take out the number of women that got the oropharyngeal cancer, maybe they would be similar again. But we're still talking about large numbers of people, men, who, if they do not get the vaccine, would obviously be not covered for this. Clearly, now, it's being pretty well known that boys need to be getting this vaccine. If you look at all the Gardasil commercials, I mean, they're definitely, if you've seen them, they're a high school kid, you know, there's a boy and there's a girl, and it's, you know, everybody needs to get vaccinated for this. If we look at the numbers in terms of the HPV vaccine coverage, so in Arizona, this is all, the problem with the vaccine has been compliance with its regimen. So depending on the age you receive it, you can either get two doses or you have to get three doses.
But most people aren't finishing the regimen?
Exactly. Oh. So in 2015, 36% of girls aged 13 to 18 got no dose. But on the positive side of things, 35% of girls got, in that same age group, 13 to 18, got all three doses.
Okay.
If we scoot all the way over to the fourth quarter of 2017, that 35% getting all three doses goes up to 50%.
Wow.
So we've made a significant improvement with public health awareness.
Yeah. Okay. So there's now new research as well that further supports that the vaccine can prevent cervical cancer and I'm sure other kinds of cancers. But this vaccine has been around for some time. So how have you seen it work in your patients?
So the problem that I have with the vaccine is I'm a head and neck surgical oncologist, and so I don't see children. So people get to me by the time that they've had the cancer. So getting them the vaccine in their 50s, 60s, 70s when they're coming and seeing me is unfortunately not helpful for this. Mm-hmm. But what I have seen is that parents are hesitant. When you talk to pediatricians, they either feel that the parents are hesitant or the pediatrician themselves is somewhat hesitant to talk about this quote-unquote sex vaccine.
Yeah.
And that's really where, from a public health standpoint, we're really pushing the idea that this is not a sex vaccine. This is a cancer vaccine. it prevents cancer. Mm-hmm. And so we're leaving that up to the parents and the pediatricians to make that decision for the child.
Yeah, yeah. But you definitely have experienced the fact that this is difficult for a lot of parents
yes.
to want to give this to their kids because many will have a moral objection to this, right?
Yeah. So the worry for some parents might be that, if I give this vaccine to my child, they may become sexually active or promiscuous or whatever. They might look at it, or they may say, well, look, I come from a conservative family. My son or daughter is not going to engage in any of that activity, so why do I need to worry about that? Well, the reality
right.
is we don't know how this virus may become even more prevalent in ways that we can't see, at this point. And, obviously making this a mandatory vaccine, I understand this is something that we don't think is so easily transmittable. So I get the idea that some people don't necessarily feel that everybody should be vaccinated on this. That's the controversy.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. That has become very controversial, this idea that not only many parents have concerns about side effects or moral objections to this, right? But there's this debate around making this mandatory. 25 states have enacted legislation, some kind of legislation aimed at that. Some schools want to require it for students. Do you think that is the right way to go?
I actually do. I think schools, it would be great if they could require it. And obviously, there's always opt-outs for various vaccines for various reasons. I would promote that. I understand the resistance to it. I mean, a large majority of my patients in my clinic are HPV-associated cancers associated with tonsil and base of tongue. So maybe I'd go out of business if this vaccine gets full coverage. But you know what? It's good business to get out of.
All right. That's Dr. Chafiq Tome. He is a head and neck surgical oncologist at Banner MD Anderson Cancer Center in Gilbert. Dr. Tome, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.